Today, how high can markets climb without altitude sickness? Hi again, it's Martha North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of this post covering finance and property news. This is our regular weekly market update, where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and cover commodities and crypto along the way. It's a complex trading environment out there, with, on one hand, Trump's higher tariffs on imports from dozens of countries kicking in this past week, while results from tech were, well, emphatic. And we've had results from more than 450 of the S&P 500 companies. An estimated earnings growth for the second quarter was at 13.2% on Friday. That's up from 5.8% on July the 1st. Elsewhere, hopes of rate cuts in the US took a leg up, though a fresh look at inflation trends next week will test the US stock markets. And some investors, including Deutsche Bank and Morgan Stanley, are saying that equities are primed for a potential pullback after rocketing to records. So it's worth reflecting that the next 3 months tend to be the weakest for performance across the year, so we could certainly be in for a pause or even a fall, remembering that the S&P 500 is trading at over 22 times its earnings estimates for the next year. That's well above long-term average PE ratios, which stood at 15.8%. That's actually the highest valuation in over 4 years. The index has declined an average of 0.6% in August and 0.8% in September, the only months of negative average performance for the index during that time period. The combination of a softer payroll number with concerns of tariff-related inflation could be the recipe for a correction, especially in the seasonally weak third quarter, Morgan Stanley equity strategist Michael Wilson said in the note this week. But Wilson said his 12-month outlook was still bullish, adding, "We're buyers of pullbacks." But overall markets had another up week, with the MSCI Global Index rising 2.52% across the week and up 0.54% just on Friday alone. The Stoxx 600 in Europe rose 2.11% across the week, while the US stocks ended higher, with the S&P 500 up 2.43%, close to new highs, and up more than 8% here to date. But actually, only a small proportion of mostly tech stocks are driving the rally. The Dow was up 3.13% over the week, while the Nasdaq notched a record closing high for the second straight day on Friday as technology-related shares, including Apple, gained and as investors were optimistic about potential interest rate cuts. It was the Nasdaq's 18th record closing high of 2025, with the index now up 11% for the year so far. Nikkei in Japan shot up 1.85% on Friday, while the ASX 200 in Australia slid 0.28%, but was still up 1.68% for the week. That's ahead of the RBA rate decision next week. The S&P 500 Technology and Communication Service Indices led sector gains for the S&P 500 on Friday, while Apple climbed 4.2%. That's up 13.3% for the week, actually, in their biggest weekly percentage gain since 2020. US President Donald Trump on Wednesday said Apple would invest an additional $100 billion in the US, bringing its total commitment to $600 billion over the next 4 years. Also helping the S&P 500, shares of Gilead Sciences jumped 8.3% after it raised its full-year financial outlook. The S&P 500 is now on track for 10% per share income growth in the second quarter, almost double initial Wall Street estimates, according to HSBC. Recent weak economic data has underpinned expectations of rate cuts, while investors were evaluating Trump's interim pick for a Federal Reserve governor. The president late on Thursday nominated Council of Economic Advisor Chair Stephen Miram to a short-term board seat following Adriana Kugler's abrupt exit last week, as he narrowed his shortlist to succeed Fed Chair Jerome Powell, whose term ends on May the 15th. Miron, who is often aligned with Trump, has previously suggested Powell was too late in lowering rates and has particularly argued that sweeping US tariffs will not massively drive up inflation domestically, and that the costs of the levies will instead fall mostly on overseas suppliers. If confirmed by the Senate, Miram would have the ability to vote on upcoming interest rate decisions. Expectations for a rate cut of at least 25 basis points by the Fed at its September meeting stands at 89.4%. That's up from last week. And futures are pointing to at least two cuts by the end of the year. But Barclays is not convinced a September cut is a given, citing a low unemployment rate and expectations for goods inflation to rise. A look at inflation trends will test the US stock market's rally in the coming week, with some investors saying equities could be set for a pullback. The monthly US Consumer Price Index report is due on Tuesday. And investors are also monitoring the US-India trade relations as New Delhi shelved fresh US arms and aircraft purchases, according to three Indian officials, after Trump hiked tariffs on India to 50% this week. The prospect of higher tariffs and the economic fallout from those levies already instituted by the Trump administration has been a persistent theme that clouded markets, but stocks have managed to rise to records despite the uncertainty. Higher tariffs on imports from dozens of countries took effect on Thursday, raising the average US import duty to its highest in a century, while the president also this week plans for levies on semiconductor chips and pharmaceutical imports. China could face a potential tariff increase on Tuesday next week unless Trump approves an extension to a prior truce. The impact of higher tariffs on the economy could take a while to show up, and the market has kind of ignored the potential negative impact of this friction to the economy, said Matt Rowe, senior portfolio manager at Man Group. The market has gotten comfortable with tariffs being kind of a non-event, which I don't think is correct, Rowe said. Several countries have thrashed out trade deals with the US, including the European Union, reducing their tariff levels, but investors remained on edge over the economic impact of the duties. The new tariffs from 10% to 41% went into effect earlier this week on more than 90 countries, taking the average tariff rate, well, close to 17%, up from 2.3% at the start of the year, and the highest since 1938. The economic drag from US tariffs could deepen significantly as delayed effects take hold and new measures are implemented, that's according to Barclays. In the note titled Mind the Gap, the bank said the effective tariff rate was just 10% as of June, with over half of imports still entering the US duty-free. The real surprise is the US economy's resilience lies not in its reaction to tariffs, but that the rise in the effective tariff rate has been more modest than commonly thought, analysts wrote. Barclays estimates that tariffs has so far exerted a 0.4% drag on gross domestic product, but warned of an additional hit of around 1% due to further increases in tariffs and the delayed effects of past ones. The bank expects tariffs to raise the headline price level by 0.8% in total, with at least three quarters of that impact still to come. A rise in weekly jobless claims on Thursday added to signs of a further cooling in the labour market, especially after last week's disappointing jobs report and adjustments. Those readings have furthered bets that the Federal Reserve would indeed cut interest rates in September. The Commerce Department has started issuing licenses to Nvidia to export its H20 chips to China, a US official told Reuters on Friday, removing a significant hurdle to the AI bellwether's access to a key market. The US last month reversed an April ban on the sale of the H20 chip to China. The company had tailored the microprocessor especially to the Chinese market to comply with the Biden-era AI chip export controls. The curbs will slice $8 billion off sales from its July quarter, the chipmaker has warned. Nvidia said last month that its products have no backdoors that would allow remote access or control, after China raised concerns over potential security risks of the H20 chip. Treasury yields were higher across the week, with the 30-year up 0.38% after last week's near-duke fall to the revised BLS jobs data, while the 10-year was 1.48% higher and the 2-year 1.46% higher, but still, of course, down from recent highs. The DXY was weaker across the week at 98.26, while the US dollar euro was at 1.164 and the dollar yen was at 147.74. Gold shot up at the end of the week, with futures up 1.09% to 3,491.30 at one point, touching highs again after US Customs and Border Protection ruled that gold bars would be subject to tariffs. Industry participants had previously believed that gold bars would not be included in President Donald Trump's reciprocal tariffs, which include, of course, a 39% duty on goods imported from Switzerland, a major gold exporter. However, it appears the Trump administration now plans to issue a new policy that would exempt gold bars from tariffs following confusion in the markets, and the White House intends to release an executive order in the near future to address what an official described as misinformation regarding tariffs on gold and other specialty products. The confusion arose when a Swiss gold refiner inquired about the tariffs and received a letter from US Customs and Border Protection stating that 1 kilogram and 100-ounce gold bars would indeed be subject to the levies. So gold was last at 3,458.20. Oil was lower across the week, even though crude oil inventories in the US decreased by 3 million barrels during the week ended August 1, according to the EIA, with commercial stockpiles at 423.7 million barrels, according to the government data, which is 6% below the 5-year average for this time of year. WTI was last at $63.35, while Brent crude was at $66.32. European stocks traded in a mixed fashion on Friday, consolidating at the end of a generally positive week, which has included a deluge of quarterly corporate results, as well as the imposition of the Trump administration tariffs. The DAX index in Germany dropped 0.2%, while the CAC 40 in France gained 0.4%, and the FTSE in the UK fell 0.1%. The FTSE is actually up 11.29% year-to-date, compared to the DAX in Germany, which was up 21.37% from January, and the CAC 40 from France a mere 4.91% higher. Europe is now about 80% through its earnings season. While top-line sales numbers have been slightly underwhelming, earnings growth has been surprisingly strong. Companies across the region have delivered earnings growth of around 10%, with a 14% upside surprise compared to expectations, said one analyst. Munich Re cut its 2025 insurance revenue forecast, citing business trends and foreign exchange effects, while reporting weaker July renewals. The German reinsurer, however, maintained its full-year profit goal. Dutch insurance company NN Group reported a sharp fall in net profit in the first half of 2025 as losses on government bond sales, derivative revaluations, restructuring costs, and the disposal of Turkish operations outweighed stronger operating results. Away from trade, Moscow confirmed that Russian President Vladimir Putin was scheduled to meet with the US counterpart Donald Trump next Friday in Alaska, raising some hopes of some sort of ceasefire in the Ukraine. We will see about that. The Bank of England cut its benchmark interest rate on Thursday, as widely expected, in order to support a creaking jobs market. But the outlook for more monetary policy easing looks cloudy, as inflation is still well above target. The UK Central Bank cut its bank rate by 25 basis points to 4% from 4.25%. That's the fifth reduction in 12 months. The rate cut comes as the US economy retreats and amid concerns of a more worrisome deterioration in the jobs market is imminent. Elsewhere, data showed that Germany's industrial output fell more than expected in June, dropping 1.9% compared with the previous month, as the positive impact from companies rushing to beat US tariffs waned. In Asia, markets were mixed, with the Nikkei highlight up 1.85% on the day. Japanese stocks outpaced their Asian peers on Friday after Tokyo won some clarity and relief from Washington on its trade tariffs, while most other regional markets retreated as those US levies took effect. Japan's Nikkei 225 surged 2.2%, while the TOPIX rose 1.7% to a record high. Japanese trade negotiators said that the effective US tariff rate on Japanese goods would be capped at 15%, and those comments helped quell earlier fears that the levy would be added to an already existing tariff on Japanese goods, which could have presented a much higher effective tariff rate than the indicated 15%. The Nikkei's Friday rally was also spurred by sharp gains in Sony and SoftBank Group, as both technology giants clocked standout earnings for the June quarter. Sony hiked its annual guidance on expectations of a smaller tariff impact than initially feared, and SoftBank clocked a bump profit on a strong run-up in its AI investments. Thursday's tariff news also helped the shares of Toyota, and that surged 3.8% on Friday, largely offsetting weak earnings and a guidance cut from the world's biggest automaker. Toyota is extremely sensitive to US tariffs due to its large export volume to that country. Weak and expected Japanese household spending data released on Friday pointed to some cooling in inflation, which in turn will give the Bank of Japan less impetus to hike interest rates. Broader Asian markets were far less upbeat, though, as Trump's tariffs took effect from Thursday, imposing import duties ranging from 10% to as high as 50% on regional economies. While several Asian countries did hash out trade deals with the US, reducing their tariff levels, investors remained on edge over the economic impact of the duties, given they still weigh on demand for US-bound exports. South Korea's KOSPI fell 0.3% as that country faces a 15% tariff. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices were flat, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng fell 0.6% on weakness in tech stocks. Semiconductor Manufacturing International Corp, China's biggest chipmaker, slid 5.2% in Hong Kong trade after logging underwhelming quarterly earnings. China's producer prices fell more than expected in July, while consumer prices were unchanged, underscoring the impact of sluggish domestic demand and persistent trade uncertainty on consumer and business sentiment. Factory gate prices have been declining for more than 2 years, and the recent data suggests early stage effects to tackle price competition have yet to yield significant results. Deflationary pressures have prompted Chinese authorities to address overcapacity in key industries. However, the latest round of industrial restructuring appears to be a pared-down version of the sweeping supply-side reforms launched a decade ago that were pivotal in ending a deflationary spiral. The producer price index, the PPI, fell 3.6% year-to-year in July, according to the National Bureau of Statistics, the NBS data. Missing economic forecasts of a 3.3% slide and matching the near two-year low recorded in June. Extreme weather and global trade uncertainties contributed to price declines in some industries, the chief statistician said. However, on a month-on-month basis, the PPI shrank 0.2%. That's improving from the 0.4% drop. Despite the headline figures, some analysts see signs of easing deflationary pressure. ANZ pointed to improvements in month-on-month PPI and the year-on-year core CPI, so they expect the current anti-involution policy measures aimed at curbing disorderly competition in sectors like autos to begin lifting year-on-year PPI from August. But other analysts remain cautious, noting that without demand-side stimulus or reforms to improve people's welfare, the measures may have limited impact on final demand. A prolonged housing downturn and fragile trade relations with the US also continue to weigh on consumer spending and factory activity. China's consumer price index, the CPI, was flat year-on-year in July compared to the 0.1% rise in June. MBS data showed core inflation, which excludes volatile food and fuel prices, was 0.8% in July from a year earlier, the highest in 17 months. Food prices fell 1.6% following a 0.3% decline in June. Extreme weather added to the economic strain, with sweltering heat gripping much of China's eastern seaboard last month and heavier than usual downpours lashing the country, with the East Asian monsoon stalling over its north and south. On a monthly basis, the CPI edged up 0.4% against a 0.1% drop in June, and that exceeded forecasts for a 0.3% rise. Nonetheless, it's still unclear if this is the end of deflation in China. The property sector is not stabilised. The economy is still supported more by external demand than domestic consumption. The labour market remains weak. Bank of America analysts provided fresh insights on how recent US trade negotiations with allies may shape ongoing negotiations with China. Before the August 1 deadline, the Trump administration secured deals with Japan, South Korea, the European Union, and others, setting a framework that offers clues for the US-China talks. According to Bank of America, a key theme in those deals is the setting of reciprocal tariffs, predominantly between 15 and 20%, lower than the previous rates of over 20%, but higher than the 10% pause earlier in the year. For example, Japan, Korea, and the EU now face tariffs of 15%, while Southeast Asian nations see slightly higher rates of around 19 to 20%. Exceptions exist for countries with US trade deficits, such as the UK, Singapore, and Brazil, where tariffs remain at 10%. India stands out with a notably high 25% rate. Sectorial tariffs include autos and steel, largely remain in place. Bank of America highlights that countries that have agreed a trade deal with the US so far have made similar concessions, mainly by promising increased imports and investments into the US, focusing on LNG, agriculture, autos, and military equipment. However, the binding nature of the contract is said to be uncertain, as Japan's chief negotiator acknowledged that only a small fraction of pledged investments might actually materialize. Regarding China, Bank of America notes its unique geopolitical situation and trade surplus makes it a complex case. So they expect upside risks to the existing 10% reciprocal tariff rate, with China's effective tariffs possibly rising to 20 to 25%. Yet, a partial or full removal of the fentanyl tariffs is still likely if China offers more specific action items, Bank of America stated. On balance, the bank believes China's effective tariff rate could reduce to somewhere between 30 to 35%, down 5 to 10 percentage points from current levels. In India, the Nifty lost 0.95% to hit a new one-month low on Friday, with the index nursing a muted performance this week. India was among the worst hit by Trump's tariffs, which kicked in at 25% on Thursday. But Trump said India's tariffs will rise to 50% in 3 weeks as he chided the country's continued buying of oil from Russia. The Reserve Bank of India kept interest rates unchanged on Wednesday, in line with market expectations, while it maintained its neutral stance, citing steady core inflation. The hold comes after the RBI unexpectedly reduced rates by 50 basis points in June, but shifted its stance to neutral from accommodative. Markets were expecting steady rates amid robust economic growth seen in the first quarter, though some analysts saw scope for a 25 basis point cut, especially amid subdued inflation and US trade pressures. Australia's shares closed lower on Friday, but recorded their first weekly gain in 3 weeks as investors paused amid US President Donald Trump's new tariffs on imports from more than 90 countries. The ASX 200 was down 0.3% to 8,807 on Friday. However, the index still recorded a 1.7% gain for the week. Investors now return to a crucial week ahead, with the Reserve Bank expected to cut rates on Tuesday and key earnings from Commonwealth Bank, JB Hi-Fi, and others also due. IG analyst Tony Sycamore said the ASX 200 was consolidating after a three-day rally that saw a record high on Wednesday. The market's next move depends on next week's RBA meeting, Thursday's labour report, and earnings updates, he said. Materials were the strongest amid gold prices trading above $3,400 an ounce, as tariffs kicked in and Trump named a temporary US Federal Reserve governor, expected to echo his calls for lower interest rates. Newmont rallied 2.2% to $106.68. Northern Star was up 4%, and Westgold Resources by 6.2% to $3.08. Fortescue Metals added heavyweight support, up 1.8% to $18.85, as it became the first Australian company to secure a 14.2 billion yuan syndicated loan from China. Financials weighed as QBE dived 8.8% to $21.39, as some analysts questioned whether the inclusion of past year's reserves had artificially inflated how profitable it actually was. Among the banks, Westpac fell 1% to $33.66. National Australia Bank and Commonwealth Bank both fell 0.9%, while ANZ lost 0.2%. AMP gained 7.1% to $1.88 following a series of broker upgrades. In company news, Block soared 8.3% to $127.09 as growing spending activity on Afterpay helped lift profits and growth over its second quarter. Nick Scali rallied 6.9% after it recorded a 7.3% rise in sales in Australia with a 65% gross margin. And GQG Partners died 14.6% after a $1.4 billion exit from its funds in July, with $1 billion of that tied to a single institutional client. Iress surged 12.2% to $9.40 after it confirmed reports by the AFR that it is in talks with Blackstone as Thoma Bravo on a possible takeover. Now, of course, the RBA policy meeting on Tuesday is in focus. The bank is widely expected to cut its key rate by 25 basis points to 3.6%. NAB said, with the cash rate in the realm of neutral following the likely cut, we expect the RBA to convey a less dovish tone that would not lean to an automatic follow-up cut in September. But ANZ forecasts the Reserve Bank of Australia will indeed cut by 25 basis points in August, and the bank sees this as a measured move consistent with the RBA's cautious and gradual approach following the surprise hold in July. ANZ points to stronger productivity growth since the pandemic as a factor raising the neutral cash rate, estimating a nominal neutral rate of around 3.2%, broadly aligned with the RBA's view. The Aussie was worth 65.22 US cents and 48.48 UK pence. Bitcoin rose slightly on Friday, extending recent gains after President Donald Trump signed an order aimed at allowing more alternative assets, including crypto, to be used in the 401k retirement accounts. Altcoins logged much stronger gains, with Ether coming back in sight of 2021 peaks, while XRP rallied on the end of the long-running lawsuit between issuer Ripple and the US Securities and Exchange Commission. But gains still appeared skittish in the face of worsening global risk appetites after Trump's trade tariffs on major economies took effect. The world's biggest crypto was last at $117,290. Trump's order opens the way for alternative asset managers to grab a greater share in America's massive retirement savings market. The order will also allow investors easier access to alternative assets in their defined contribution retirement plans. Trump claimed that regulatory overreach and litigation risks have prevented retirees from clocking potentially higher returns on their investments, but critics warned that alternative asset investments were inherently riskier, making them less suitable for long-term stability. Trump's order is largely in line with his pro-crypto stance, which saw the passage of several crypto regulatory bills earlier in the year. The prospect of more capital flows boosted Bitcoin, hoping the crypto break through the 110,000 to 115,000 trading range that it's been bound in since late July. But bigger gains in the cryptos remained elusive, especially with spot Bitcoin ETFs nursing 4 days of sharp capital outflows. Bitcoin was hit by profit-taking after reaching record highs in July, while dour risk appetite on concerns over Trump's tariffs have also kept buyers on the sidelines. Block, led by Jack Dorsey, increased its Bitcoin holding in the second quarter, adding 108 Bitcoins and bringing its total treasury position to 8,692 Bitcoins. Second quarter revenue came in at $6.05 billion, up 1.5%, and gross profit rose 8.2% to $2.54 billion, according to the company's latest filings. Bitcoin sales through Cash App accounted for $2.14 billion of total revenue and generated $66 million in gross profit from the cryptocurrency. Block shares rose 3.5% on Friday as investors welcomed the positive second quarter results. Broader crypto prices outpaced Bitcoin on Friday, actually, largely reversing last week's steep losses. World number two crypto Ether rose to $4,193. That's over the $4,000 range seen in 2021. The crypto was boosted chiefly by an increased number of companies buying Ether to establish a corporate treasury similar to that seen with Bitcoin and MicroStrategy. The strategy proved to be extremely successful for Michael Saylor's firm, which logged stellar share price gains over the past year. XRP also outperformed, rallying 8.4% to 3.3274, a near three-year high. XRP was supported chiefly by issuer Ripple and the SEC agreeing to end that long-running lawsuit. The legal battle was expected to end after Trump named more pro-crypto officials to the SEC, while also shifting crypto regulatory oversight to the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Solana rose 2.6%, while Cardano added 3%. Among meme coins, Doge rose 4.1%, while Trump added 2.3%. So standing back, while markets are still very, very frothy, there are headwinds ahead, particularly as we go into the third quarter and the full effects of the tariffs come in. But the tech sector still supports the markets and will probably do so too. So who knows where we go next, but I do think that we should expect sideways or down as the most likely direction as we head over the next 2 or 3 months. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.